So I had an opportunity this week to consider the birds a little too closely. What I mean by that is I was on my way to a meeting on Thursday morning. I opened up my garage, went to get in my car, and I heard fluttering before I'd opened the garage door. And I looked, and sure enough, there was a bird trapped in our garage. And it was swooping, and it was nervous and panicking and trying to get out. Kept slipping on shelves and ended up opening the garage door. It still could not find its way out. So I decided to back the car out and maybe it would, you know, two-car garage, surely, big open door, this bird would find its way out. Not so fast, right? And as I was walking back into the garage, I was quite terrified that this bird was going to swoop down and, like, you know, just, like, gouge at my eyes or something. You know, just the worst possible thing. I was very scared, very frustrated. I even tried to, like, tweet at the bird from the open door to try and get it to come my direction. But all it would do was sit and perch on top of the opened garage door and couldn't seem to find its way out. So as I said, I was running late. I was frustrated because I did not have time to consider this bird on Thursday morning. I did not have time to deal with it. I just wanted it out of my garage so it wouldn't poop on all of our stuff, right? I just wanted it gone. I wanted it out of my garage. I often think I need reminders to stop, slow down, take a breath, consider the birds. I need reminders to do that, to get a different perspective. And so really, that's what this series, Consider the Birds, their second week, that's really what I hope this series accomplishes. Looking to Scripture, which many of us might have studied for many years, and trying to approach it from a different, more creative vantage point. Lots of different birds that we find within Scripture. What might they teach us about the goodness and love and character of God? Maybe take a breath and consider the birds. Looking at Scripture from this different viewpoint. So last week, our first week, we talked about the birds of the air, sort of in general, but the sparrow specifically. God that keeps his eye on the sparrow, encouraging us to not so much stop worrying as much as put our trust in God for all of our provision, for all of our need. Because if God can care for the birds of the air, surely God can care for me. And this week, we're going to turn to a passage in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13. This will be verses 31 through 35, and I'm going to invite you to read that with me now. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Amen. There is a small Roman Catholic church located on the western slope of the Mount of Olives in the Holy Land. And this is just east of Jerusalem's old city. This church commemorates the site where Jesus weeps over Jerusalem in Luke chapter 19. He's on his way. He comes around a curve and he's seeing the temple. Scripture says Jesus became so overwhelmed with what he knew to be the coming destruction of Jerusalem and the dispersing of the people of God, that he stopped and he wept. And they believe, tradition believes, that it's in this spot where this church is built. The name of the church is Dominus Flevit, which is translated from Latin as "the Lord wept." The Lord wept. In fact, the Italian architect, Antonio Barluzzi, who designed the modern church in the 1950s, this modern church that you see, It was built on the foundation of a church that can date back to the Byzantine Empire. But when the modern church was constructed in the 1950s, it said that the architect designed it with this high pointed dome that is meant to evoke the shape of a teardrop to symbolize the tears of Christ. And within this church, you will find this mosaic. It's a mosaic of a mother hen and her chicks under her spread wings right there. An obvious reference to our passage for this morning, Luke chapter 13, where Jesus also laments over the state of Jerusalem, but it's part of building toward that Luke chapter 19, where Jesus openly weeps. Consider the birds. Consider Jesus, the mother hen. Many are surprised by Jesus's self-comparison here in Scripture to a mother hen. Some haven't even heard it before. Some didn't even know this was in Scripture. And to be sure, it is different. I mean, who really likes a mother hen, right? They seem overprotective, interfering, overbearing. They cluck and they pick, they watch constantly. It's not the best connotation today when you call someone a hen or even a chicken. These are not nice or good connotations. It gives this image, especially maybe of an old hen, it gives this image of someone always squawking, always fussing, getting their feathers in a ruffle. Nobody likes a mother hen. Unless you are a vulnerable chick in need of protection, or unless maybe all your life you've been deprived of a mother's care, or all you've known is the feeling of being abandoned, left to your own devices, stranded to face the foxes of the world alone. And maybe in that spirit, we might be able to understand the fierce love and care and protection that God is going for here, that Jesus is going for here in this self-comparison. After all, a hen does care for and protect its young. So although this is a little different, it's a bit of a stretch, you might say, I want us to take a few moments to consider what we know about hens, or really what I learned a lot this week. The things that I learned. The first thing that I learned, or that we already know, is that a hen offers warmth and care. She sits on or broods over her eggs until they hatch, and then keeps the chicks warm until they are fledged. She creates a safe place where her young are welcomed and protected in warmth and comfort. Just as Jesus opens his arms and welcomes all into community, how Jesus creates safe places for us, a sense of love and belonging and acceptance. There is safety under the care and protection of God's wing. In fact, all throughout Scripture, we are given this image of refuge and strength found under the shadow of God's wing. In Psalm 61:4, it says, "Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge in the shelter of your wings." Psalm 63:7, "For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy." And these are just two of the many references within Scripture about finding this sort of comfort and protection underneath God's wing. There's a reason why maybe as a small child we felt that care and protection under the embrace of our parents or grandparents or loved ones. That security, that comfort under the shadow of God's wing as well. As the hen gathers her brood under her wing, so does Jesus welcome us in and care for us. This was new for me, something else I learned this week. A hen feels her chick's pain. Recent studies suggest that hens may be able to experience empathy, an ability once thought to be uniquely human. That is the ability to feel someone else's pain or understand their point of view. They are thought to be such caring and attentive parents that they can actually feel their chick's pain. In these experiments, the female chickens showed clear signs of anxiety, when their young were in distress, whether it was increased alertness or increased heart rate, increased communication with the chicks. They showed signs of distress or signs of anxiety when their chicks were in distress. Jesus, too, has an incredible gift of empathy. The power of the incarnation is that God became human, lived our human experience, and had victory over death, but also understands our human experience and emotion. Jesus understands and feels our pain because he walked this earth too. I know I've shared it recently, but the scripture from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 15. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. I think empathy is a stronger word, because Jesus doesn't just feel sorry for us, doesn't just sympathize for us, but knows our pain. Jesus knows what we are feeling and thinking and what we need, because he too is an attentive, caring parent. Something else we know, a hen is a great defender. She is fierce and territorial. Roosters will fight among themselves for dominance, but a hen always protects the chicks. She will defend the nest at all costs. In fact, she has different calls or clucks to communicate with her chicks. One that might mean to eat or drink, one that might be a warning, and another that gathers her chicks quickly to her in the face of a threat or danger, whether that's a fox or a bird of prey or a snake. New Testament scholar N.T. Wright takes this a step farther. The hen is more than just a territorial defender, but this fierce protector is also sacrificial. N.T. Wright, in his lecture, invites us to imagine the scenario of a barnyard fire. And as a fire sweeps through the area and the barn, the mother hen gathers her chicks in, protects them from the flames. But in the process, she is burned to death, and the chicks survive. This is an image that we think about, and we sang about it this morning, about the defender, about the love and protection of Christ. Even in the fire, I am alive in you. In the midst of the fires and the trials in our lives, we know that we are not alone in that flame, but because of the love and sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we are alive. We are alive in Christ. So what this image of the mother hen and the barnyard fire also teaches me is that a hen is fearless. She is not afraid to die. She is not afraid to die. In our scripture passage this morning, we experience the same fearlessness, the fearlessness of Christ. The Pharisees warn Jesus that Herod wants to kill him. Don't go to Jerusalem. Get away from here. Herod wants to kill you. Because he has been preaching a message of salvation and forgiveness. He's been healing on the Sabbath. He's been loving the unloved. He's been loving the unclean and inviting all of them in to the kingdom of God. This was threatening to those who held power. He threatened their control, the status quo. He acted like a god. They wanted him silenced. But Jesus was not afraid of the sly fox, Herod. Jesus was not afraid to die. In fact, he was preparing to head straight toward Jerusalem. Just like a true prophet, he prepares to go right into the danger and to confront the evil head on. Jesus is willing to die so that the children of God might live. But did you notice in our scripture reading, as soon as Jerusalem is mentioned, Jesus' tone shifts from that of warning, you go and tell that fox Herod. It shifts from this tone of warning to a tone of sorrow or lament. O Jerusalem, he says, that city, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I have longed to gather you together. How often I have longed to gather the children of Jerusalem as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. But he says, you were unwilling. But you were unwilling. Jesus laments that the children of Jerusalem refuse to be cared for and protected. They refuse to receive this gift of salvation. Instead, they reject him. And they reject him to the point of death. You can almost hear the heartbreak in his voice. The heartbreak of a parent who longs to protect and help their child. Who longs to bring them back to the love and belonging of family. Who longs to bring them to Christ. But that child continues to make decisions that cause more pain and more distance. They continue to wander astray. Jesus knows the pain of rejection. Jesus knows the lament and agony of a parent and desires that each and every one of us accepts this invitation of love, of deeper belonging, of protection, to turn to Jesus who gathers us in. Another preacher, Caroline Lewis, describes this scenario this way. All too often, we have failed to understand or respond to God's love. All too often, we have turned God's word of love into a life of hate. All too often, we have turned God's call to repentance into pointing fingers and a call to arms. The sly fox of the world turns us away from that which is good and eternal and pulls us in the direction of those things that satisfy now, but do not linger and live with us for eternity with God. All too often, we have failed to understand and receive this love. I have two friends who have attempted to raise chickens on their own. One on a farm outside of Georgetown, a more logical place, you might say. Another in a studio apartment in D.C. They both have attempted to raise these chicks, but very different experiences, yet with a similar takeaway to the needs of chickens. My friend in D.C. is a Methodist church planter, and a few years ago for Easter, she thought it would be neat to have baby chicks on Easter Sunday. You know, for the kids to enjoy, pet. How fun would that be? I'm not making any suggestions, by the way, of how we should celebrate Easter, but so she found this organization that allows you to, you know, sort of rent these barnyard animals, like petting zoo. If you have an event, you can rent. This was an interesting organization because it allowed you to rent eggs for 6 to 8 weeks and incubate them and keep them warm and watch them hatch over time. And then when your time was up, you could return them. So she found this deal, and what a cool experience, she thought, to add to Lent those weeks right at the end of Lent, building up to Easter, to watch new life hatch forth. She can invite her whole church into this experience. Except they hatched much earlier than expected, like weeks earlier. And to watch, or weeks earlier, and in the matter of weeks, the chickens become quite developed in just a few weeks. She told me about the chaos that was her extra bedroom in her tiny studio apartment, trying to keep these chicks inside, the whole place smelling of feces, how they would knock over their water bowl constantly, or worse, just poop right in it. They were cute and fuzzy and chirpy at first. But as they got bigger, they got messier and noisier and began to fight. And my friend couldn't quite be the mama hen that these chicks needed. And she felt they weren't quite the smartest of creatures, as she observed them. They were not quite the smartest of creatures. So my other friend in a farm outside of Georgetown, like I said, maybe a more logical place to raise chickens, she decided to buy adult hens for her farm for fresh eggs and built a coop for them and all. But they didn't have a pen for them at first. And since they are creatures of habit, sort of territorial, some of the chicks ended up wandering off. they ended up getting lost, and a couple of them never returned. A few others were killed by coyotes one night. I think she might have a few left. I'm not exactly sure. Both of my friends were very inexperienced in their chicken raising before they entered these endeavors. But this much they learned. The chicks needed to be cared for constantly. They needed to be cared for constantly. Clean bedding, food, and water every day for the little chicks, and protection and security in the coop for the older ones. We too need such loving care and attention. We too need to be gathered into Christ for comfort, belonging, protection, salvation. Too often we reject that love. We reject this invitation. And too often we, like chickens, remain stuck in our messes. We remain stuck in our bad choices, wandering off and getting lost, unaware even of the dangers and evil that are on the prowl in our world that exist just beyond our view. What would it look like if we remained so close to Jesus that we could tell the difference in his voice and warnings? What would it look like the mother hen sending different messages to her chicks to eat or to take cover or to find protection? What would it look like if we recognized the voice of Jesus and heeded his call? Come to me quickly. Find protection and rest from the world. Jesus, like a mother hen. Jesus, like a mother hen, a God who welcomes all children under the wing. No matter how they behave or how they look or what annoying and inappropriate things they do, the God who opens her heart of healing, the God who feels what I feel, who assures me that when I have made mistakes, when I have wandered from the right path, when I have been overwhelmed by the foxes, that those holy wings are still spread over me. Those holy wings are still protecting me, sheltering me, keeping me safe, and loving me. The arms of Jesus are wide open. There is room there for you to find comfort in the embrace and shadow of his wing. Jesus is standing with his arms open, longing to gather us together, longing to welcome, to create a safe place for you. What would it look like for you to find that protection in God's wing today? What would it look like for you to heed this call this morning, to respond to God's love, to respond to this invitation, and to trust in the Lord for all you need? Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you are a great parent God who loves us so recklessly and overwhelming. God, it's hard for us to even fathom a love that is willing to accept me even in all my faults, a love that is willing to die for me. God, we do not feel worthy, but we are so grateful. We are so grateful for your love, for your sacrifice that goes before us and with us. Like the fierce protection of a mother hen, God, we are thankful for just these ways to try and wrap our head around the care and protection that you offer. We are thankful for these symbols. We are thankful for these experiences that point us closer to you. So, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come and continue to dwell among us as we worship, as we celebrate, and as we rest in the embrace of your love this morning. We pray all of these things in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I do just want to highlight a couple of things. Thank you to our youth for serving communion this morning. You are a beautiful, wonderful, vital part of our community, and we are just so grateful for you. It was not too late, sort of our second week of our Youth Futures campaign. So if you'd like to be a part of investing in our youth program, the expansion of that ministry, not just for 2019 or 2020, but for the years to come, it is not too late to take part in the Youth Futures campaign. I've heard from Amy this morning that we still need volunteers for Trunk or Treat. At least 4 or 5 more to help with putting on the event, with setup and grilling, things like that, of that nature. But then also, as many as you can are welcome to come and actually set up a trunk themselves to pass out candy. So that's next Sunday on the 27th. How is it already that next Sunday? Trunk or Treat. So if you've been thinking about participating, you just haven't signed up yet, go ahead and do that online, and you can let us know, let Amy know how many people to expect. Church conference will be in this space at 12:30. Be giving thanks for God's provision for 2019, looking ahead with lots of excitement and hope for 2020. All members or all people are welcome, but we're going to be voting on some things. That leadership is really encouraged to stay. Child care is available. If you have older kids that are not in Little Peeps right now, if you could just go up and help them move from where they currently are to their right space for childcare, that would be helpful. But childcare is provided, so I hope many can stay. I am so grateful for a God that loves me like a parent, that is a helicopter parent, as Daryl referred to, who is attentive to my every care and need. Because some days, let's be honest, I can be kind of like a chicken, thinking I know what's going on, but really just stuck in my own mess, wandering about, not too smart on my own, needing to be gathered in by the love and grace and protection of a God like a mother hen. And so I hope you experience that warm embrace this week, that you find that protection and that refuge in the shadow of God's wing for you, and that you might go in peace this week and be about God's revolution. So go and be the revolution. Amen.